Welcome back to another episode of the Max Stern Podcast. Kyle Stitcher alongside James Finch. And today we are going to get into that Bo Byram trade from the Sabres perspective. Kind of teased it in the last episode that we released, which is available on all major platforms, Max Stern Podcast, all major podcast platforms. If you somehow missed notifications because you're not subscribed, at AFP Analytics on X is where a lot of our content, we let you know new episodes are out as well. And we appreciate you listening. Again, follow us on those places. Personal accounts can be found there as well. And let's get into, I guess, the implications of the Sabres trading Casey Mittelstadt for Bo Byram. So we'll talk about kind of the in the vacuum, and then a little bit of the broader picture, I think, will kind of be the plan. Maybe get a little bit more in how it affects their longer-term roster build construction, and just kind of let that conversation take it there. We've kind of set like some level of parameters because there's always room to talk about a team that's going to miss the playoffs yet again. Longest playoffs drought in the NHL by a lot. So there's a lot more that can be talked about, but I think it's interesting. There's enough nuances where, like, when we talked about the hindsight episode and even the trade deadline recap, we're trying to run through however many different names and kind of talking about this in that context, I don't think was going to do the conversation justice. So this will be a kind of little bit longer episode on just Byram for Mittelstadt, what that means. Can maybe talk a little bit about what it means for Colorado, but really more what it means for Buffalo.
Really what it means for Colorado, we could almost get that out of the way pretty easily. They had defensive depth, really two top guys, Makar and Taves, and pretty solid three and Sam Girard. Byram was going to be a luxury at some point to have, and eventually not this coming off season, but would eventually need a bigger payday. But they decided to turn him into what they view as a second line center, which was a glaring hole for them. So basically dealt from a strength to get a big need. Also something that's usually hard to find, especially at a younger age, RFA control still. That's basically what Colorado did.
I think once Colorado gave Devon Toews that long-term contract, it seemed like the writing was on the wall that one of Girard or Byram would be eventually traded. It wasn't like it had to happen immediately, but when the opportunity arose, they did it. And the opportunity was there in Mittelstadt. So the fact that Byram got that deal done, I don't think that Colorado was unhappy with that at all.
You know what's interesting about that is, so we're pretty much looking at this and saying, okay, Colorado identified they have probably two defensemen as part of their main core, Makar and Taves. Making this trade, did Buffalo now say we have three defensemen as part of our main core? Darlene, Power, and Byram, which kind of leads into the conversation of, well, you traded Mittelstadt, who might not have been a core long-term piece, to bring in Byram, who is a former top draft pick, a defenseman with high potential. Does that mean he's for sure a long-term piece in Buffalo? Or did they just acquire another player under contract for another year, kind of pushing a contract decision down the line?
I don't know if there's a... So, in theory, he should be a long-term piece.
In theory.
So, Buffalo went into the season with strength down the middle. Everyone thought going into the season, strength down the middle, Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, Casey Mittelstadt. That seemed like to be the strength of the team. And if they were going to make the playoffs, it was going to be based on those three players being able to drive three good scoring lines. That was the logic. Made sense. As the season got going, Casey Mittelstadt was really the only consistent play driver amongst those centers, I'll say. Tage Thompson, yes. I think, clearly dealt with injuries most of the season. Dylan Cousins, I'm not sure. There's some concerns there. Again, we'll maybe get a little bit more, but that's not really the focus of this episode. I wonder, though, if taking your 3C... I'll put it this way. No, I won't go there. Didn't they already have three defensemen they considered part of their core in Dahlin, Power, and Matias Samuelsson? Does Byram now make four?
Potentially. And I guess we can say Samuelsson's not of the same level, but you committed to him long term. So he's going, well, you could trade him, but he's going to be there in theory. Yeah, so I think it's weird to look at because you can kind of argue any viewpoint here, and it's possibly true of, like, did they have to acquire Byram? Taking a step back, when we've talked about the Sabres before and looking at the roster, and we've decided to make the assumption, let's say they keep Casey Mittelstadt, one of the more obvious moves for the offseason was they need possibly one more defenseman. It would be ideal to acquire one more top four defenseman. Okay, so in a way, they've kind of done that already. How... I don't know how... Or I don't know what that means for the long term. Because you have really three defensemen, we'll call them their top defensemen, already signed long term. So if Byram plays to, let's say, a first pair level, which would line up with what his potential is believed to be, can you afford to give him a contract? Which I guess that's where I was kind of getting at when I said, is he actually a long term piece? I don't know, especially when you already have Dahlin and Power, who would kind of seem to be your two main core pieces. It's why I kind of made that comparison to what Colorado did, kind of identified Makar and Taves. They have Girard, who is kind of that next tier. Samuelsson's kind of that next tier. I look at it and wonder if they filled a hole that they knew was going to be there for next season. They were going to have a contract issue, we'll call it, with Mittelstadt this offseason, and they're not going to have it with Byram. So I don't know if, like, looking real long-term, multiple years down the road, if anything has changed or become more clear. I think it might be a little more clear for next season as far as the defensive core.
So I think I still just go back to the numbers game on defense.
Yeah.
So let me step back. I'm a big Bo Byram fan, or at least the type of player that he is. Generally, I favor a puck-moving type defenseman who can help in transition because I think that's the modern style of hockey. Get the puck.
Yep.
I mean, really, hockey games are won. Keep the puck out of your defensive zone. If it gets in your defensive zone, get the puck back, get it up ice. It's as simple as that, and that's what Bo Byram's really good at.
Yep.
So generally, I favor those type of defensemen. But just a pure numbers standpoint, again, there's four guys now that seemingly are going to be there a long time. Ryan Johnson showed plenty of promise in his time up with the Sabres to be a potential long-term piece. So that's five guys. I mean, your sixth guy, a lot of teams just bring in a veteran every year, fill that sixth spot. And I haven't even talked about Henry Yoki Haru with Buffalo, who I think has been a little bit of an underrated, unsung hero this year for that blue line, in that he's been kind of the stabilizing force more so than the names.
Been good with whoever he's been paired with this year.
That's that, and that's so he seems like the obvious odd man out.
Also needs a new contract. Correct. This offseason. So that's another factor to that.
So again, he seems very obviously the odd man out. I'm not saying that he's a better player overall than Byram by any means.
No.
But I'm not sure it solves as much of a puzzle swapping basically Byram for Joki Haru. I think that's basically what goes on here, is Byram's long-term being swapped for Joki Haru, which, again, talent-wise should be an upgrade, but as far as putting the pieces together, that's where I question things, question the makeup a little bit, and I don't, like, so I like the trade in a vacuum. I like the idea of Bo Byram for the Sabres. I do have questions, as you also laid out, with the long term, with just the long term, basically viability of fitting him, contract wise, situation wise, in that on that roster.
Yeah. So to me, it could be a long term fit, just like Mittelstadt could have been a long term fit, but I don't think it's a guaranteed long term fit. It's a guarantee for next season that wasn't there with Mittelstadt. But is this guy part of the future? Maybe. Very well could be. And it could mean someone else you thought was part of the future is not going to be. But it kind of flips the decision in a way to defense, where we thought the big decision was going to really be up front with Mittelstadt. At the end of the day, looking to next season, defensively, the Sabres are probably set, barring multiple trades. All set adding, I should say. They could send someone out because of all the names. Dahlin, Byram, Power, Joki Haru, Connor Clifton's still going to be under contract. Ryan Johnson, you mentioned. Matias Samuelsson. Jacob Bryson could very well end up being a free agent and not even given a qualifying offer, but he's been a solid seventh guy fill in. There's a lot of names defensively for the NHL roster. So I think defensively they're set. What this trade did, though, is you dealt from your strength of down the middle at center. So now that's not there. Prior conversations we've had about the Sabres, and not even just us, just pretty much anyone who knows a little bit about hockey knows the Sabres' strength, as far as organizationally, has been at forward. What is happening right now at the end of the season, really since Mittelstadt was traded, was kind of a uh-oh. We traded Casey Mittelstadt. He was our best forward, and no one has stepped up into that role. And I think it's important to highlight that, because this organizational depth is very good, especially when you're talking about trying to improve your team. You have a lot of assets. But you traded one that you know is good at the NHL level, and now you either are going into the offseason needing to add a center from a different team through trade or free agency, or you need to hope one of your prospects is ready for that 3C role. So really, to me, this shifted the offseason conversation from need a defenseman potentially to now we need a center. Is it coming from within, from the prospect pipeline, or from outside the organization?
It seemed like the way that I think Kevin Adams had talked after the trade deadline is, it seemed like he was trying to do something similar to what Colorado did, in that send one of your younger guys out and bring in a veteran to fill that spot and couldn't get something done, which I have no clue what that something is. I've kind of tried to figure that out, and I still don't necessarily have a good idea. Maybe it was Scott Lawton.
There was a name that I had seen, but I don't know how legitimate it was, so I don't even really want to mention it. But they were for sure trying to acquire a center.
So the question is, do they go into the offseason still trying to acquire a center? Which, again, makes the question of, did you accomplish, is it a net positive sending out Mittelstadt for Byram?
I don't even think it can really be looked at in that way, because you're looking at two different position groups. You strengthened one spot and weakened another. I would say, here's how I would look at it, almost. Last offseason, pretty much everyone was saying Buffalo needs a defenseman. They went and signed Connor Clifton and Eric Johnson. Now, hindsight would say UPL has been great for the Sabres, but there was also a, we need a goalie. Ultimately, pretty underwhelming offseason for those two needs. Goalie ended up working out for a couple months. As good as UPL has been, it was maybe half the season good. The other half, not great in goal. And defensively, your additions ultimately were not good enough. If they go into the offseason and say, okay, we need another center, third line center. We've got some prospects within. Nothing's quite out there that we see being the right move. Let's have an internal battle. Krebs, Savoy, Kulik for 3C. Is that smart? Is that comfortable?
I'll put it this way. It would be smarter than had they done that on defense last year.
Yes.
So I'm going to say, if the right names are not available either via signing or free agency, they could do more harm than good by bringing in a veteran center. Scott Lawton's my number one name here. Scott Lawton's my number one name.
That's not a move that they should make.
Exactly. So if the name is Scott Lawton that you're going to bring in to supposedly stabilize your third line, opposed to giving prospects a chance to take that spot, I would say don't do that. My struggle is I don't know what names are available out there that are going to provide enough of an upgrade to not just go with the prospect, because I think too often teams will think they need a veteran player, and on defense they got into a little bit of trouble with that this past offseason, overpaid probably Connor Clifton because they thought that's what they needed. They can't make the exact same. They can't sign Connor Clifton forward this offseason, which is kind of the path it seems to be potentially headed down. And if that's going to be the move, sign or trade, I would rather just leave it up for internal competition, because as you listed off enough names where you hope one or two of those guys are ready to go at this point.
Yeah, I would say, I guess what we're kind of getting at is this depends. So I guess I'll say it depends. Adding more context to this, you are Kevin Adams. You had a team that missed the playoffs by one point, might have been two.
Well, it was one, just one was point one? The previous offseason. Okay. Yes.
Who looked like very good, very promising for the next year. And the next year, they look like a completely different team. Missed the playoffs a little more, obviously. They're not getting as close. do you feel like you have to make a move? Or it was Byram the move?
So I think there's a urgency to make a move, but I also think that you can't make the hockey decisions based on the business decisions, and I think the business decisions are to make moves. I'm not saying don't make moves, but fans and media are going to say you need to make more moves. I'm not sure that that's the best hockey decision because, again, you get in, you sign the Connor Clifton of forwards this offseason. That's not helping your team short term or long term. I think it's you have to be judicious and you have to make smart moves, whether that's dipping into the free agent market or packaging picks, roster players, prospects together to make a trade, which I think really is the more likely route you should go down. You need to do it smart. You need to do it judiciously.
I agree. And I'm going to throw out four names from the free agent market. And we don't have to go in depth, but just a quick reaction. Alex Wenberg.
Internal prospect.
Chandler Stephenson.
Intriguing.
Let's say Lindholm signs a 1 year because his market is very minimal.
Fine.
Sean Monahan.
Fine.
Okay. Issue being here, didn't mention any possible contract numbers, which for most of these players might be a little more significant than Buffalo would want to commit to their 3C, hence possibly trading. Well, not possibly trading, hence the decision to trade Casey Mittelstadt in the first place. Maybe Monahan could be a little lower, Wenberg. Time will tell, but that's kind of the center market. And lower than that, not many great options for a 3C role.
Can I add Roslovic as well?
I would say sure. I think he might be more of a wing.
I wouldn't do that either. But
yeah, I think he might be more of a wing at this point. But I guess that kind of answers the question of no. I mean, you can add him to the list, but I wouldn't do it.
So sure, if you can get Monahan, but I don't know if that's a long. He's going to probably want a contract with term, and I don't know if that's a wise decision.
Yeah.
Lindholm on a 1 year, that could be intriguing. That yep. could be intriguing. Wenberg, no way. And then I forgot the last name. That
Chandler Stephenson.
Chandler Stephenson is probably the most interesting because he's going to want term and he's going to want dollars.
He's Casey Mittelstadt, pretty much, just the UFA version.
With a slightly different play style.
Yes, but as far as how he's going to slot into the lineup, probably the level of contract, like...
Exactly.
That's, yeah.
So, yeah, that's great, but then... I guess that works out, but then where your future spots for your prospects, I mean, you gotta be careful getting, like, too caught up with like that, but at the same point, if you continue to just like one of the rationales for trading Casey Mittelstadt is you now have a future spot for a prospect. If you bring in like a Lindholm on a 1 year contract, and we're not saying that that's anywhere near a likely scenario, it's a possibility, but I would say that that's almost like one of the least likely scenarios. In that, I don't think Lindholm goes for that. But if the Sabres could do something like that, that could be a smart move. That could be a smart move. But most of the names you read off, I'm either not excited about or are Monahan and Stephenson, who are definitely going for a term in dollars.
Yeah, so I more brought up those UFA names because that's kind of the UFA center market where like you might be happy with those guys at 3C. Not a whole lot else there, and you just kind of before that had mentioned the trade route might be the best way to go for multiple reasons. I'd wonder about if they do want to bring in kind of a more, the word veteran is thrown around a lot, but just someone with a solid track record in that type of role. Or even if it's not a huge track record, just someone who you believe is very solid for that role. You could end up trading a prospect or two in a deal like that. Tying this back to Byram, sort of the defense, you kind of mentioned what Buffalo already had defensively before this. So there's Dahlin, Power, Samuelson. That was kind of your top three long-term. They've all got long-term contracts. Yoki Haru's there. You mentioned he's been good, and he has. This season, he's probably underrated. People probably aren't giving him enough credit for how he's played. You mentioned he might be the odd man out, too. That could very much be the next domino to fall here. Of it could be someone like Yoki Haru moved out for that 3C. That's pure speculation. I don't know if that's actually the case. I don't think, without going too far down this rabbit hole of who they should fit, I'm going to throw out one name because I think this roster could have a lot of turnover and they may not have enough room to keep everyone. Jack Drury would be interesting from Carolina. Now that they've acquired Kuznetsov, they've got Kakaniemi, Jordan Stahl's there, Sebastian Aho's obviously their franchise player. Got a lot down the middle. Their defense could look very different with Brett Pesce, Brady Shea, Chatfield, I guess to a lesser extent, D'Angelo gone. There's a team, maybe there's some type of matchup there. I don't know. Don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but I mentioned Drury specifically because he also is going to need a new contract. So maybe there is that RFA for RFA, need a new deal type of trade. But as far as a free agent of any kind, there's not much out there for Buffalo. So it could very well be one of the guys who signed already, the more fits the veteran type mold, a Scott Laughton, even though we don't think that's good.
I mean, Kotkaniemi also could be that that same type of name or player. I mean, Jack Drury is probably the more ideal candidate, but like Kotkaniemi, there's no reason that he also couldn't fill that same role. But I think if you went that route, it's probably a question of why not just keep Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah, so that's $4.8 million over six more years. Not the greatest offensive presence like everyone was expecting from him. Like, you're really happy if he hits 40 points in a season. Is that enough of an upgrade to not go with the Krebs, Savoy, Kulik, whoever else that's internal? I don't know. So it's, I think this also speaks to just how hard it is to find centers, like established good centers. So, yeah, you acquired Byram and you have this great defensive core in theory now, but you've also opened up a hole that is not the easiest to fill. It's not like going and finding a third line winger. That's fairly easy to do.
So I think as we get towards the end of this episode, let me throw this. You know, this will be kind of the last thought we throw around on this, because I think this kind of wraps up the situation. Could Samuelson be the Sabres' Byram? In that, could he be the one that's the odd man out now and used to acquire that center hole? Or fill that center hole, I guess. Is he packaged with someone? Is there enough value there? But I think that's ultimately where, if we want to come full circle, I think that's the question that needs to be asked.
I think it's definitely possible. And that's kind of where the question I have about, is Byram actually a long-term piece? Are you expecting you're signing him to a what's going to be a larger contract? If that's your expectation and that's what you want to do, Samuelson is expendable. If you aren't 100% there yet with Byram and you were kind of just happy to acquire a premium asset who's still under contract next year, there's still a lot of questions. And I think it would be less of a move Samuelson now and more of maybe a Joki Haru is available. Not to answer your question with another question, but it's just kind of the point I think Buffalo is at right now. It's, unless you know for sure what their plan is, which I'd want to assume Byram is probably part of their long-term plan. You acquire a player like that, that's usually the case. So I guess making that assumption, I would say Samuelson is probably very much on the table this offseason.
And if he is on the table and you can package something to with him, whether that's your first round pick, whether that's one of your high prospects, at some point you get, not everyone's going to pan out, but you have a lot of prospects that people are very high on. Scott Wheeler had them as the number one prospect pool in the NHL. At some point, you can't keep all your picks and all your prospects because there just isn't going to be room for them. And a lot of the picks and prospects that they currently have are probably at close to their highest value now. So this might be the offseason to make that package deal. It's probably Samuelson. It's probably prospect and or a pick, because picking probably like wherever they end up, it's probably going to be low single digits or high single digits, low double digits. So 8 through 12 yet again. If that's where you're picking, is that pick really worth it? And I'd argue no.
I agree. I want to throw one more scenario out there, because part of me thinks this is very possible too, especially missing the playoffs again when the expectation was now playoffs. If I'm Kevin Adams and I don't want to deal with this again another season, like we're making the playoffs, you could do Dahlin, Byram, Power, say Samuelson or Ryan Johnson, Samuelson or Ryan Johnson again on the bottom pair, and Joki Haru on the bottom pair. There's your six. Clifton's your seven. Use your prospects to go get your 3C. You have a very strong defensive group, and you replace that middle stat hole. I almost wonder if that's the way they go, is just create the best team you can.
I mean, you always should try and create the best team you can.
Well, I guess more of an eye, worry less about how all those defensemen fit 2-3 years from now, and just next year, that's the best we can do with our defensive group. That's what we're going to have. Maybe.
I think that's fine, but I think is that the judicious move? Is that doing enough? It absolutely might be. But again, it's who's that name for that 3C? If it's Scott Laughton, no thanks. If it's...
Yes, but well, what I'm getting at is we've mentioned moving Joki Haru or moving Samuelson. It could be don't touch any of the defensemen and just use picks and prospects to find that 3C.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I still go back to, okay, you add one new veteran player on as your third center. Is that enough? And I can't sit here and say right now we have an answer, but could they just roll with it? Absolutely. Like, could they just roll out six, what should be really good pairs, like one top pair and then two probably second pairs, sure. I mean, that's a great idea. Nothing wrong with that. But now you have the premium assets on defense. Should you use those to replace the hole you created, basically?
Yeah, so I guess here's another aspect of this. So the positive with Byram and his contract situation is you don't have to necessarily decide your defensive core long-term this offseason.
Joki Haru's borderline.
To an extent, but you could probably give him a two-year deal, buy one UFA year, and you're good. Or 3 year, maybe. I don't remember that off the top of my head. But you could go a little smaller there, and I think I also wonder, this is where it gets tricky, of if you weren't necessarily wanting to commit the amount of dollars Mittelstadt was looking for, which I guess this is an assumption, you shouldn't have to trade necessarily too many premium assets to fill that spot. Because if you don't want to pay, let's say, 5.8 for Mittelstadt as a 3C, you're not looking to acquire a 5.8 million player. Or maybe you are, and it's someone who's under contract at a lower amount, so I guess premium assets would be needed. But I could see it very much being a situation where you don't have to decide on the long-term defense right now. Everyone's RFA or signed long-term. The abundance of picks and prospects. Does Savoy and Kulik both make the team next year? Potentially, but let's say Savoy is amazing. Kulik's down in Rochester for another year. Is that what's best, or should you be turning Kulik into something? I don't know for sure the right answer to that, but Rosén, the scoring winger, kind of turning into a two-way winger almost. How much longer do you keep those guys in the AHL that have already been there for a while? That might be what you should be dealing from, and keep your NHL roster strong, as strong as possible. Maybe.
So you threw out one assumption that I just want to kind of say, I don't know if it's a fair middle, that the Sabres didn't want to commit the dollar amount to Mittelstadt. I wonder if they didn't want to commit the year length.
Potentially.
That's really where my bigger question, because again, as we've said enough times, there's prospects in the pipeline. They have a lot of long-term contracts already for their really top nine, we'll say. Was the bigger issue just the term, and might they be more happier getting that guy on like a 1 year remaining contract? I don't know.
Potentially.
So it could be dollars, but it could also very well be term.
Dollars, it could be term. Could be the player.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, he was very good, but we don't know that for sure. That's assumptions we kind of have to make, because no one's really going to know the answer to that. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll see, but I'm almost kind of tying this back to that trade and what that trade means. I think the focus for the offseason, as far as needing to bring someone in, it goes from defense to the forward group. And we still pretty much have the same amount of questions about the future as we did before the trade.
Exactly. And I think that's a perfect way to wrap this episode up. So with that, we appreciate you listening. Subscribe to Max Stern Podcast on all major platforms. Give us a follow at AFP Analytics on Twitter, is where I was on such a good streak with the not saying Twitter. There it is, at AFP Analytics on X. And we appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you next time.